Good evening. Welcome to class number three of the Fresno Meetup Group for the study of Kabbalah. Today is October 27th, which is tonight is the 20th of Cheshvan. I'm going to read from the Zohar first, because tonight's class is all about the Ana B'Koach. And as you know, I start each class with this Hebrew prayer that I haven't explained to you yet, so tonight we're going to explain it to you. But I don't want to bring in that energy, and as part of the lesson, we'll bring it in, and I don't want to not bring in the Zohar, so... I'm reading from the Parasha of Chaye Sarah, which translates as the life of Sarah. And it's actually describing the purchase of her burial site, as well as the betrothal and arrangement of the marriage of her son Isaac. I'm reading from section 17. And Abraham was old, advanced in age. Verse number 120. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yedeinu kunenei aleinu maaseh yedeinu kunenehu. Kad havasi vial bedargin ilain kid ka chaze. Diti vi Abraham zaken uden. Ba bi amin vi inun yomin ilain. The inun yomin yidian raza dimhen nita for Hashem berach et Abraham bakol the mitaman nafkin kol barkan bakol kivu. When he was old, he entered the supernal grades as he deserved, as it is written, and Abraham was old, and then coming with the days. This refers to the supernal days, the days known by the secret of the faith. And Hashem blessed Abraham in all, namely by Yesod of the supernal Abba and Ima called all, where blessings and every goodness come from, as its plenty never stops flowing. Every part of the Bible, every verse is coded. We translate it into English, we learn it from its surface level of that translation. This part of the verse that says, Abraham was old, and the second part of the verse says, coming with the days. And it's usually translated, Abraham was old, advanced in age. Coming with the days, advanced in age, there's a difference in that meaning very clearly. Coming with the days, the Zohar is telling us in this verse, is talking about something it refers to as supernal days. Every day of your life is a unique opportunity. Every day of your life, you have a spiritual work to do, a spiritual job to do. The majority of us do not do our spiritual work each and every day. Many of us don't do it almost at all. Many of us do. But the idea that this verse is teaching us, not just that Abraham took each day and did his spiritual work step by step by step, but this whole section is explaining that as he did his spiritual work step by step, day by day, he grew spiritually. But there's also people who do one action on one day somewhere in their life, and that completes them. And they literally, it says, they become closer to the Creator than the Tzaddikim, the righteous person who's doing his work step by step. Now, that doesn't seem fair on its surface, and I don't have time to go into explain why it is fair. As I say, never believe a word I say, but over time you'll come to understand that it is fair, because in terms of reincarnation, in terms of what happened during the sin of Adam and Eve, that metaphor, souls fell into the mud. They fell into the klipa, which klipa means shell, which is literally the negative entities who subsist from life force just as we do. And so when some soul falls into the klipa, literally they veil his light. They sully him or her. And when they are able to break free, they fell further so they can rise higher. And that is the balance in the world. And that's the idea of someone who does one action, because relative to how sullied they are, that one action is so much more than what a righteous person does day by day, step by step. Does anybody have any questions about any of the other classes? To remind you of what the classes were, because we had the break last week. First class, we talked about the illusion of the physical world and how we were given these senses as tools, and at the same time, we were given this illusion. The senses see an illusion, feel an illusion. They don't give us truth. And the reason for that is so that we can have free choice. Because in a world where you knew the effect of every action you did, there's no free choice in that. It's, you know, if you walk into a store and stole a piece of candy and your hand fell off, that's, you know, you're never going to steal the candy once you see that effect. We live in a world where cause is separated from effect, so we cannot see the connection. And that's part of the illusion that gives us free choice. It lets us make the mistakes. And making the mistakes is part of growing from infancy to an adult. Because without making mistakes, we don't learn. The second class, we talked about what happened before the Big Bang, as well as why we are in the physical world, why it was created, what is its purpose, why we individually are in this world in a general way. That's basically what we talked about in the second class. Now, tonight is going to be the beginning of giving you tools. The tools all are related to the Hebrew letters. Let me say this class and next week's class, the tools are related to the Hebrew letters. The tools that I will give you in later classes are more inclined with concepts and actions. I'm going to be asking you to do actions from this class that will not make any logical sense. They will be absolutely absurd to you. They were to me when I was asked to do them. But for some reason, I felt the need to do them. And this is what I will tell you. 3-6 months from now, you will look back, and if you choose to do these actions of this week and next week, if you choose to do these actions, you will find yourself to be a different person, a better person, whatever that means in your frame of reference, better person than you are today, which is what the idea of growing step by step is about. So let's start with the beginning tool. And I, I will preface this by saying you, I am not trying to make you a religious person. That's not the idea of Kabbalah. It's not the reason why Kabbalah existed, or why we were given Kabbalah as tools. The religion brought the wisdom of Kabbalah across the centuries. The religion serves a purpose. It does not, it no longer serves that purpose. We have reached a point in time, as we talked about, there's only 230 years, 229 years left to achieve our goal. The majority of humanity has reached their tikkun. There's people in the world, 6.5 billion people. Each of us hasn't achieved our tikkun, or we wouldn't be here. That means we're not really good people. We're not nice people. We're very selfish people. We have a desire to receive for oneself alone. That's not a bad thing. It's not an idea of good or bad. It's where we are. And the idea is, in our generation, we need the tools of Kabbalah to spring us out of this mud that we have created for ourselves. The first verse in the Bible, first phrase of that verse, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the rest of that verse speaks about God spoke. God created light. Actually, it says God formed light, and there was light. Now, I'm not going to go into the difference between creation and forming. Just generally understand that the only thing that was ever created was the desire to receive, which is what our nature is. The light, the fulfillment, had a desire to be revealed, so he created creatures to reveal himself. In order to reveal himself, the creature has to have a desire to receive. That's what we are, that's what we were created as, that's what we are supposed to be. God spoke, and there was light. Does God have a mouth? If he's sitting in outer space and he speaks, does that mean that there was air out there and he could transfer the sound? What does that mean? God spoke and there was light.
Action.
An action? Very good. It actually puts it on the level of, what did he speak? Speaking is an action. But in our world, we do actions with our hands, with our body. We speak with our head. Speaking is an action, but our speaking is motivating other people to do actions with their hands. If I want to cook dinner, I go cook dinner. I don't speak to anybody about doing it. But if I want to invite somebody to dinner, I have to talk to them. I have to communicate with them in some way. I can leave them a note. Is that speaking? It's a form of speaking. But let's look at what is speaking. What did God speak? And the answer is, God spoke letters. Actually, he spoke words. But words are made up of letters. And the first creation, other than the desire to receive, from the desire to receive, God formed letters. And there's a midrash that says he played with the letters for 2,000 years before creation. We spoke about it the last time briefly. God played with the letters. The letters, what are the letters? They're sounds. They're visual shapes. They're song, actually. And that brings us to the first tool. Now, Kabbalah teaches something very simple, very hard to realize and accept. What simple is, nothing happens without a spiritual cause creating a physical effect. The Jewish world, every Saturday, goes and listens to the reading of the Torah, the reading of the Bible. It's read from a scroll. It's on that scroll are letters without vowels. It's read in a chant. There are different styles of chanting, singing, actually. But ultimately, what is the cause of reading the Torah every week? What is the spiritual cause of that? The spiritual cause of that is God's mercy. Because he created a system of natural law and natural spiritual law. And that system basically says every week an energy, a metaphysical energy comes into the universe that needs to be corrected, that needs to be changed, that needs to be dealt with. That metaphysical energy comes into the universe and it brings with it both positivity and negativity. It brings blockages, it brings the opportunity to hurt people if they don't have the vessel to handle it, or it brings just unbelievable fulfillment in a certain way, in a certain area. Each week we read a section of the Bible called the Parasha. That reading, the hearing of the sound of the words and the letters, provides a protection shield to minimize the negative aspect of that energy and enhance the positive aspect. For 3,700 years, according to the academics, for 2,000 years, 2,500 years, every Shabbat there has been a reading of the Torah, a reading of the scroll. The purpose of that reading is to provide you with that protection shield. And that's why we say the first tool takes about an hour a week, and that's to find somewhere in Fresno, Madera, a synagogue that is reading the Torah. Now, some synagogues are friendly and open to non-Jewish people, and some synagogues are not. I don't know Fresno, as you know. So I don't know where to suggest that you go. But every Saturday for an hour, you should hear the scroll being read. You don't have to pray. You don't have to be involved with the community that's there. Although you may choose to enjoy that. That's a different discussion. The tool is to hear the Torah. It's not to read it. It's to hear it. Why? Because God spoke and there came into being. Speaking implies sound. Speaking implies that level of understanding. When when we get later into the class, we can talk about why Moses was punished. He couldn't go into the land because God told him to speak to the rock to draw water, and he hit the rock. He didn't listen to God, and God's answer to him, or his statement to him, is, you didn't do what I asked. You didn't glorify me like I told you to, and so therefore you can't go in. But that's a whole different discussion. But it's really part of this understanding. Why do we hear the Torah? Because there's this protection shield tool that we get just by listening to it. If you don't want to go to a synagogue, if you don't feel comfortable going into a synagogue, the next best thing, there are places on the internet that Saturday morning will be reading from a scroll, and you can hear that. The one place I know about is Kabbalah.com, and they charge a fee for it, which they shouldn't, but that's beside the point. Another place is called Kabbalah for You, or KabbalahForAll.com. And that, I'm not sure if he reads Saturday morning, he reads, I think, Friday night, but he's primarily doing services, and the Torah reading is secondary to the services. But there is an aspect of the Torah reading, and you can find out where within his time period. An alternative is, if you can't hear it on the internet, buy a Jewish Bible called a Chumash. Runs about $25 to $50 online. And scan the Hebrew. I know you can't read it. But let's talk about scanning and what does that mean, because we'll talk about it a lot tonight. There is a spiritual law that says you cannot form anything that isn't within you. Another way of saying that is you cannot create anything that isn't within you. We have created, man, human beings have created something called a scanner. What is that scanner? You take a barcode, you run it across the scanner. There's a mind somewhere called a computer that's been programmed. Boom, the inventory is adjusted, the price goes on the register. Everything that happens, happens. All part of the program. And we all know the adage that the eyes are the window to the soul. And that is not just an adage, it's a true statement. What you see affects your soul. Hebrew letters will affect your soul just by scanning them. Why Hebrew and not English letters or the same letters? Any other language letters? Pictograms of Chinese? All of the different languages of the world. We're given that answer in the story of the Tower of Babel. Because it says in the Torah, in the Bible, everyone spoke one language. That term, one language, has a gematria, a numerical value associated with that term and that phrase, equivalent, equal to the term Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh means holy language. Go ask anybody in the streets, in China, in Japan, never heard of the English, never heard of the Bible, what is the holy language? And their answer is Hebrew. It's known throughout the world. Western society, clearly, that is the answer. What is the holy language? It's Hebrew. Go to China, go anywhere else in the world, they never heard of the Torah, they never heard of the Bible. They have no history of it, no background. What's the holy language? Hebrew. Throughout the world. Because the souls know the truth of the statement. Remember, don't believe a word I say, but you'll find that you'll be proving this truth to yourself over the next few months. The tool is to hear the Bible read from a scroll. The next best thing is to hear it over the internet. The next best thing is to scan it directly yourself at home. It takes an hour to hear it in a synagogue. I'm hoping you will start. Most of the students get around to that in 5, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, when the other things I'm going to teach you tonight start to work. But that's neither here nor there. It's an hour a week. Can you find the time to find an hour a week? Somebody says, but I have to work. Okay. You have to work. Can you take a break for an hour? No, I can't take a break for that. I can take a break for 10 minutes. Take the break for 10 minutes. Do what you can, because it's all metaphysical energy. It's the reception of energy. It's the reception of consciousness. So if you can't do all of it, do some of it. Now, in Judaism, and in this different aspects of Judaism called Reform, Conservative, Orthodox, Reconstructionist, there's 22 others. Some of them read the whole parasha for that week, and some of them read a third of it. They read the whole Torah in a 3-year cycle, or they read the whole Torah in a 1-year cycle. 1-year cycle means more energy. 3-year cycle means less energy, but still energy. There's nothing wrong in getting it that way. Second tool is a book of the Zohar. The Zohar is referred to as the soul of the Bible, the soul of the Torah. What I described to you about the Tower of Babel story, we wouldn't know except the Zohar explains it to us. The Zohar tells us that the gematria of that phrase, meaning one language, is the same as Lashon HaKodesh, the holy language. We wouldn't know it without the Zohar. The Zohar is teaching us the inner essence of what the words are, what the energy is. And it does it in a poetic way. And it does it using a language called Aramaic. Aramaic, the academics will tell you, was the language of the people. They didn't want to speak Hebrew, it was too holy, is the explanation. So they spoke Aramaic, which is a language made up of Hebrew letters, but different words, different spelling. And the Midrash comes and teaches us that angels do not understand Aramaic. This is a metaphor. What it's saying is there is a more direct connection between us and the Creator when we use the Aramaic language. There is no negativity transferred in the Aramaic language. There is negativity transferred within the Hebrew language. The Kabbalists teach us on the second day, actually, on the third day, it says, God saw that it was good, God saw that what he had created was very good. On the first day, he says it's good. On the second day, he doesn't say anything. On the third day, he says it's very good. On the fourth, fifth day, and seventh day, he says it's good. What the Kabbalists teach us is the word very, which is nailed in Hebrew. And I don't like to say that, but for the purposes of teaching, I said it. That word is actually transferring the energy of the angel of death. Because good is sufficient unto itself. Why do you need to say very good? Why do you need to enhance it? That enhancing of good is the negative side. It's a deep concept. We don't need to go into it at this point. The major point to understand is the Zohar has no negativity. It's just a blessing. It's just good. The Zohar, the tool that I'm offering you, teaching you, is to scan the Zohar daily. 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, an hour. Decide for yourself. There are three ways to connect with the Zohar. One is to purchase a set of Zohar. Every Jewish bookstore, online, offline, has a Zohar that has just the Aramaic letters. The Kabbalah Center is the only one that has a full translation, which is what this is. And it's expensive. It's about $500. They also have two books that they published. One is called The Secrets of the Zohar. It's about $20. It's from Amazon.com. And then another from their website is called The Pinchas Zohar. That one is $15. It has no English. It's solely the Aramaic to scan. Now, the freebies, this file that printed this book is online on the internet. You can find it by going to my website. On the right side at the bottom, you'll see Zohar. Click on that, and it will take you to this. There is also a site called dailyzohar.com, which is what I recommend. DailyZohar.com is translating a part of the Zohar that has never been translated. Actually, he doesn't translate it. He summarizes it. As he says repeatedly, I can't translate it because there's so many levels to it, you lose too much in the translation. So I give you a summary of what is the essence. But in your email every night, approximately at 8 o'clock, which corresponds to sunrise in Israel. The email comes out if you register for it, and it'll take you 2 minutes to scan it. And if you want to sign up for the comments that people make to his summaries, that comes in the afternoon the next day. Don't have to do that. The main point is to scan or read the Aramaic Zohar. 2 minutes a day. What I'm describing is this is not difficult things to do. It's an hour a week to hear the Torah. It's 2 to 5 minutes a day to scan it. Scan the Zohar. Third tool, and the one that's going to take us the longest to explain tonight. The first 42 letters of the Torah is the name of God, the attribute of God that was used to create our universes. What I'm going to teach you tonight is that 42-letter name of God. Around about 1400, one of the Kabbalists took those letters and created a poem, a song. He put words to each of those letters so that the letter starts the word. So if you look on the page, you'll see seven. It's not that page. Turn that page over. Where your hand was, turn it over. That page. You'll see, it's not on one page because of the printing, but essentially it's seven verses. Each of the verses have six words. The first letter of each of those words is the 42-letter name of God that was used for creation. When you say this song, you are drawing the energy of creation. Now, what is the energy of creation? When you are tired and need to sleep and find yourself unable to sleep, say the Anabakoach. Say this. It's called a prayer. It's not a prayer. Say this seven, these 42 words, and you will go to sleep. I'm sure it's like counting sheep. But what it's really doing is, what do you need? You need balance. If you're out of balance, I need sleep, but I can't sleep. I'm out of balance. Creation brings you back to balance. And we learn this from a very strange story, a very strange word that you're both familiar with. And that's that. What did God do after each plague to Pharaoh, after the third or fourth plague, I believe? The Torah says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, we teach, we have this assumption that God is good. Does it sound like he was such a nice person when he's hardening his heart? It's a very difficult concept for most people to understand. And I'm going to explain it to you Kabbalistically. Hardening of the heart is a code phrase that says bringing Pharaoh to a level of balance so that he continues to have free choice. When he experienced a plague, he's frightened, he's afraid, he's out of sorts, he's out of balance. He has no free choice at that moment. He can't say, let them go, or that's not out of his choice. It's not free choice. It's coercion. And there is no coercion in spirituality, a law of the universe, a law of the spiritual worlds. So God hardened his heart, meaning he brought him to a level where he forgot that pain. He brought him to a level where he was again at free choice. What did he choose again? I'm not letting him go. He kept, I need my wealth, which is what the slaves represented. He constantly made this choice. But he was at a level of consciousness where he had free choice. Only because in God's mercy, he gives him free choice by hardening his heart. Sounds absurd, sounds difficult, doesn't make sense, but it actually does. The energy of creation will bring you to balance because that moment of creation has everything that is creation within it. Now, science cannot track the Big Bang. They start a few millionths of a second after it happened, and they track from that point on a physical level. The Anabakoach is what was used to do the Tzimtzum, to withdraw within himself, to create the empty space that then evolves through, as science describes it, evolves through this process of our physical world and our 7,000 years of correction and so forth. The Anabakoach, the name that's used in creation, is a name that will bring you to balance at every point in your life. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. It's a true story. I'll just tell it to you. Rabbi Berg is one of my teachers from the Kabbalah Center. In 1994, 1995, I forget which year, he came back to Los Angeles and he told us the story. And the story was, he was in Israel and he was coming home and he stopped in Paris at the center in Paris. Kabbalah Center has centers all over the country, all over the world. The center in Paris had been there for a number of years. The majority of the people who were involved in the center in Paris came out of North Africa from when the Algerians expelled the Jews from their country. Algeria, Morocco, and all of Northern Africa basically in the 50s expelled the French nationals, which included the Jewish. But they still kept their businesses. They still had relationships. Rabbi Berg is in Paris, and he gets a thought. He gets a communication. He gets whatever he received. And from whatever he received, he was told to go to he was told to go to Libya. I get Tunisia and Libya mixed up. He was told to go to Libya. At that time, Libya was the home of the Palestine Liberation Movement's government in exile. They originally were in Jordan, and Jordan expelled them. They couldn't go into Lebanon, although they had strong power there. They were expelled, and so they set their government up in Libya. And they had literally a building, one large building on a block. Rabbi Berg was told, go to Libya. He doesn't know why. They don't tell him, you're going to do such and such. Go. You're the tool. Go. He says to the people in his community there in the center in Paris, I need to go to Libya. How do we get that? And these people really do know the business environment in Libya. Their families were there for 200-300 years. So one of them says, I'll take you. The two of them get on a plane and they fly to Libya. Now Rabbi Berg wears a business suit, but he also wears a kippah. It's clear he is a Jewish man. It's not a welcoming country for Jewish people in 1994 and 1995. They get on the plane, they go to Libya, they get off the plane, and they go through customs. Jewish man, two Jewish men actually, both wearing kippahs, arrive in this country. Nobody says anything. They're let through. Go through customs. Go to the hotel. The students of the center says to the rabbi, we're here. What are we doing? I says, I don't know. Let's have dinner and go to bed. So there's not kosher food, so they have some salads, and they go to sleep. They get up in the morning, and the student says, Rob, what are we doing? He says, let's get a cab. They get in the cab. Where does the cab take them? Take us to the government building for the PLO. This is a Jewish man. He's not going to be comfortable in the PLO. They get out of the cab right at this building. And Rabbi Berg doesn't know what to do. So whenever in doubt, he says the Ana B'Koach. And he walked around that building saying the Ana B'Koach seven times.
Oh, my God.
He got through. He did his seven circuits. Said the end of the clock, however number of times it took. Gets back in a cab and goes away. Now, all the time he's walking around, he's being followed by the security people. Nobody knows what he's doing. Now, everything I've told you is true up to this point. I'm going to say to you, from this point is my knowledge. A few months later, now this is still true, a few months later, there was a surprise announcement in the world called the Helsinki Accords, which was an attempt by the Israelis and the Americans primarily, the Israelis, the Palestinians, the Americans, to sit down and generate a peace. That hasn't worked. But that's not the point. This is where my opinion comes in, because I had no proof that I could give you on a physical level. But when history records the timing of his trip to what was taking place in that building, I will tell you that there was a meeting going on in that building at that moment in which they were deciding, the PLO was deciding whether to participate in the Helsinki Accords or not. The purpose of why he was sent was to bring the energy of balance represented by saying the Anabakoach to that situation. That's my opinion. Believe it, don't believe it, it's up to you. Everything else I've told you is a true story. Something happened in that building. A few months later, there was the Helsinki Accords. The Anabakoach is to be said once a day at a minimum. Initially, it will take you a long time to say it, 10 minutes. Once you've memorized it, and it'll take a few months to memorize the words and sounds, on that paper is the transliteration in English. So while you're looking at the Hebrew, you can say the English. There's also a translation of what the words mean. That doesn't make any essence. There's nothing to it. I give it to you because people want to see it. But when you look at what the translation is, doesn't make any sense. In Hebrew, to someone who speaks Hebrew, the words don't make any sense. They're a poet. They're a poem. They're a song. They don't make sense. But what they do is bring the energy of balance into your life. Now, I'm going to sing it. You've got it in front of you. And every week I will sing it, and hopefully I match the tune every week. If you don't like my tune, feel free to change it. If you go to YouTube on the internet and type in Anabakoach, you will get about 5,000 people singing the Anabakoach the way they like it. Every one of them is different. There is no one way to do this. It's what fits you. Most of my students find the way I sing it to be very moving for them. That's up to you. Before I go, there's so much in this that I get lost. The Anabakoach has seven verses. There are 7 days in the week. Now, I will tell you a very strange thing about that. There has never been a human society in the history of the world that ever changed the number of days in a week. They may have called it something different than week, but they always had seven as their basis of time. Throughout history, there's 365 days in a year. The calendar, the initial Roman calendar, which became the Gregorian calendar, had 10 months of 36 days and 5 days at the end of the year that it was a holiday. Then along came Augustus and said, Caesar Augustus, said, I want a month named after me. So they lowered it to 33 days and gave him a month called August. And then Julius Caesar came along and added his name, and it became July. And that's why we have 12 months of approximately 30 days in the Gregorian calendar. Irrespective of that, there's never been any society that had anything but a seven-day week. Each one of those verses relates to a day of the week. So when you say it, you'll stop on that verse that's connected to the day that you're saying it. The verses also connect to the months of the Hebrew year. So you will change from month to month which verse you stop at. You will be doing different connections, different meditations on various Hebrew letters that are built around those verses, because those letters created the months of the year, they created the days of the week, they created the planets of the astrological universe, and we will talk later in the class about how do you reconcile astrology with the unity of God. And because if I have free choice, then there's no predestination. But astrology implies that it's already predetermined. So we'll reconcile that later. The point is that when you say this once a day or 1,000 times a day, depending on your situation and what balance you need in your life, you feel out of balance at 2 in the afternoon, say the end of the call. You still feel out of balance, say it again. You still say it 10 times till you get brought back to balance, and you will. The way I'm going to describe it for you and the way I'm going to do it today, this is Wednesday night, which is Thursday, because the day starts at sundown. Why? Because in the Torah it says there was evening and there was morning, day one, day two, day three, but it was always there was evening and there was morning, which teaches us that the day starts at sundown. So we are already in the fifth day. So I will stop on the fifth verse to connect to that day. I will stop on the third verse to connect to the month of Cheshvan, which is the month we're in. Next week, when I come teach you, I'll tell you which verse we connect to for the new month and what day that will start. So they'll always keep you aware of it, and over time you'll start to realize it. But built into that format, you'll eventually come to understand that the letters of the month and which month connects to which verse connects to which month is built into that page. But it's too complicated for you to try and do it now. Each verse can be a meditation, or each verse can be just said. The first time I do it right now, I'm not going to give you the meditations. I'm just going to go through it. I'll do it again where I'll give you the meditations. Ana bekoach gedulat yamincha tati Terura. The six letters together, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Yud, Tav, Tzadi, are in small letters at the end of the verse or underneath the verse, is a seventh word. There's a reason for it. Just scan it for the time being. It's not normally done by people in the, who say it. It is done by the people who are knowledgeable. So as you get, the more you get used to it, you'll be able to visualize those letters without the paper. But until then, just look at them. It's not a word that sounds out. It's a word that you say the names of the letters. So the first verse, the names of the letters, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Yud, Tav, Tzadi. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu nora kufrei shayin sintet nun. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kivavat shamrim. Nun gimel dalad yud taf shin. This is the third verse connecting to this month of Cheshvan. The letters of the month are the Dalad that created the planet Mars, Ma'adim, and the Nun that created the constellation Akrav, or Scorpio. Together they spell the Hebrew word Din, which means judgment. Fourth verse. Barchem tacharem rachame sitkatcha tamid gamlem betet resh sari tach gimel. Fifth verse. Chasin kadosh birotucha nael adatach het kufet tet nunayim. Now, please go to the further down in the pages to where it says day 5 or Thursday. And you will scan, but don't say, those Hebrew letters. Those represent the names of angels that are connected to the day of the week. When you say that, those angels come and support you during the day. You only do that once. If you say the Anabakoch 100 times during that day, you only do it once with the angels, because they're always there. They don't need to be called again. They're with you the whole day. The sixth verse. Yachid ge'e ramcha pene zokre kedushatach yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf. Shavatenu kabel ushmatiakatenu yodeya talumot shinkufav sadiyutaf. The eighth verse we say in a whisper, we refer to as silently. I'm going to say it out loud for teaching, but you say it silently. You say it's just loud enough that you could hear, but somebody standing next to you couldn't make out the words. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed. If you start saying this and you think you've memorized the Anabakoch by a month from now, and you forget, no matter what you do, every time you start it, even if you don't finish it, you say the eighth verse. The eighth verse literally takes the energy of creation that is too much for your vessel and grounds it so it doesn't hurt you. As long as you say that eighth verse, the Anabakoch is a tool of positivity. It's what will bring you to balance constantly. Do you need to be active, but you're tired? It'll give you energy to be active. If you need to be sleeping and you're too active, it will bring you to sleep. That's what balance represents. Where does your soul need to be at this moment? That's what the Anabakoch will give you and do for you. It will also do many other changes, because as you look at these letters, your soul is getting the energy of creation. And the soul will make changes based upon that. Now, there's one other section, which is that first page, the chart. That one. That chart is called the Tikkun HaNefesh. Whatever month you're in, like we were in the third verse and I stopped and gave you the Dalet and the Nun, you also connect to the Tikkun HaNefesh. How do you connect? By looking at it. And you follow the order that I've written into the boxes. That chart is a microcosm, a metaphor for your body. Box number one is your skull. That's what I said earlier, if you want to write. Box number two is your right brain. Now, the difference in the boxes, they're all the name of God, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, but they have different vowels, because it's represented, connected to these parts of the body. This is a healing tool. You are drawing the light of creation through the Tetragrammaton, through the name of God, to those parts of your body. Many people will use the visualization technique of light coming from their hand going into that part of the body. And they'll run it up and down their body to do that. That's okay. I mean, it's whatever feels comfortable for you. Box one is the skull. Box two is the right brain. Box three is the left brain. Box four is the right eye. Box five, the left eye. Box six, the right ear. Box seven, the left ear. Box eight is the nose. Now you'll notice two lines. They represent the nostrils of the nose. The right nostril, the left nostril. I didn't make it 8A and 8B, but you should know, always start with the right. Box 9 is the mouth. This is the head. The head is almost half the page, if not more than half the page. There's a reason for that. The head is very important for the healing of the body. Box 10 is your right arm. Box 11 is your left arm. Box 12 is your chest, your body, to the diaphragm. Box 11 is your right leg, which starts at the diaphragm and runs to your knee. Box 12 is the left leg, which starts at your diaphragm and runs to your knee. 11, 12. Box 13 is the sex organ and the spine. And you visualize the light starting at your sex, running underneath and back up your spine to your head, and then back down and back around. But it's both aspects, your spine and your sex organ. Box 14, I got off somewhere. Yeah. Let me see the chart. Just point it to me. I'm familiar with it. 13, 11, 12, 13. Right leg, 14 is the left leg, 15 is the sex, 16 is your feet. And the feet are from the knees to the feet. Literally, you are drawing the energy of healing to that part of your body and soul. Because nothing happens to our body that doesn't first happen to our soul. You have an illness, like at one point in my life I had colon cancer. It meant that the part of my soul that was dealing with the colon had first been damaged by my actions, and then it became manifest in the body, in the physical world. And just to once I knew where that illness was, I could evaluate what actions I had done that created that illness. And I changed those actions and changed that consciousness, and I've been cancer-free for 2 years. And as Radha Shem, that will continue. Now let me give you the whole thing again with the meditations, because each verse has a meditation. So you can do an Anabakoach that'll take you 2 hours. Or you can do an Anabakoach that'll take you 2 minutes. There's no right or wrong. Just try it. Say it. Try it, doing it. Add it to your existing spiritual work. It's only beneficial. There's no negativity with it, because you're grounding any excess energy with that eighth verse. Anabekoach gedulat yamincha tatir tzera Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. The gematria of these six letters is 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, which translates as unconditional love. That's your meditation. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu No La Kufrei Shayin Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra Satan. Kra means tear up. Satan is the negative entity, Satan, that literally his job is to give us free will. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates. And it's a hint to us to remember to guard our gates, the eyes, the ears, the nose, and the mouth, because this is the entry point to the negative system. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalad Yud Kaf Shin. The first three letters, Nun Gimel Dalad, has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word Zan. Zan means Parnassah, which means sustenance. What is sustenance? It's the fulfillment of our desire. We earn a living, we work in the world. It's fulfilling a desire. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence of letters that helps us take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. This is the third verse detailing with the month of Cheshvan, the Dalad that created the planet Ma'adim, the planet Mars, and the Nun that created this constellation Scorpio, a Krav. So together they spell the word Din, which means judgment. Third verse, during Cheshvan, we now go to the Tikkun HaNefesh, the chart. And literally we look at box 1, box 2, box 3, box 4, box 5, box 6, box 7, box 8, box 9, box 10, box 11, box 12, box 13, box 14, box 15, and box 16. You can stare long at any one box or all of them, however you wish to do it. fourth verse, Barchem Ta'alem Rachamei Tikatecha Ta'amid Gam Lem Betet Resh Sadi Taf Gimel. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Netzach, which one of its aspects is eternal victory. Eternal victory in the only war that matters, the war between your desire to receive for oneself alone and your desire to receive in an order to share. The fifth verse. Chasin Kadosh Berol Tufa Na'el Adatach Tet Kufet Tet Nunayim. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Hod. One of the aspects of Hod is appreciation, and it reminds us to appreciate what we have received and to ask for more. Yachid Geya Ramcha'a, fifth verse. The day of the week, if this was the first time you were doing it, you would go to the angels of the day. Yachid Geya Ramcha Pene Zokre Kedushatach Yud Gimelamed Hey Zion Kuf. This sequence helps speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this time period of the sixth millennium. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziatatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tzadi Yudtaf. The first two letters have a gematria of 400. 400 represents the four worlds times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. 400 represents completion. It represents perfection. The last four letters have the same gematria as the first verse, 506. And that represents and connects us to Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. And we learn from this that the path to perfection, the path to completion, is only through injecting the consciousness of unconditional love. The eighth verse we say in a whisper, but I'm going to say it out loud for teaching purposes. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Va'ed. To summarize this class, and I know it feels overwhelming, but this class is really very simple. You need to utilize the Hebrew letters to help you change. They were designed to transfer metaphysical energy, and their purpose, one of their purposes, is to help you change. An hour a week to hear the Torah Saturday morning, to get the protection shield for the energy that comes into the universe. 2 minutes to 5 minutes a day with the letters of the Zohar to get the holiness and the benefits of that action. And the Ana B'Koach, 2 minutes to 5 minutes once you learn it. Or 2 hours if you want to take the time to use it as a meditative tool. Three tools. They're independent of each other, but they're all related to the letters. The letters will cause what will help you change, help you become a better person today than you were yesterday. Don't believe a word I say, but please do the actions I'm suggesting. 3 months from now, 6 months from now, you'll look back, you'll say, I'm a different person. I'm a better person. Or you'll say, this has been a waste of time, and let me move on to something else that's more beneficial for me. I have never had a student say that. I have had a student say, I got what I wanted from this. I'll continue to use it, I don't want to continue studying deeper and deeper. I've gotten what I want. I've never had somebody said this doesn't work. Are there any questions for tonight? Good night.